So where all have we played in Wisconsin?
The shorter list is where haven't we played?
Ah, yes.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you are listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 157, Wisconsin Loves Us. Welcome to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its fourth year. We're playing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, in Madison, Wisconsin, for the next 2 weeks. And we were talking in the dressing room about all the different cities we've played here and how much all of Wisconsin loves us. Well, almost all of Wisconsin.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Our props and costumes for the Shakespeare Show didn't arrive, and we scavenged throughout the Stevens Point Drama Department looking for props and costumes.
Yeah, two or three people, you know, our dresser, and I guess it was Jane, went down into the costume and prop shop. Another couple of people went off to Toys R Us, and we said, here's kind of generally what we need. We'll get through it. We ended up, I think, this like instead of foils, we had broadswords.
Adam and I found broadswords, and we're so heavy.
Yeah, and we were just so off, but I guess the audience was with us. But we've played a lot of the UWs. We've played Whitewater at least a couple of times. We've played Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I think that was when Tom Gabbert was running the venue in Green Bay there. Okay. Let's see, Madison many times.
Eau Claire.
We played Eau Claire recently. There's a couple that I'm forgetting. Strangely, never Milwaukee. We've never played Milwaukee.
There was almost, we were going to perform at the Rep or someplace down by the river. I forget.
Yeah, we were going to get produced there, and that didn't come through. But no, and we haven't played Milwaukee Rep. But we usually manage to work in Cheeseheads into the show.
Wherever we go.
Yeah.
And when there was always beautiful Rhinelander.
Yes, beautiful Rhinelander. Oh, that's the one, yes.
Yeah.
With what is it called, the Hodag?
The Hodag, home of the Hodag.
The Hodag, is it the town or the school mascot, which is a fictional kind of dragon-y monster character?
I guess, but it was also a really small little venue, not really a theater, almost like a glorified dining hall, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a lecture hall. But not really a proper theater. And then, but the cafeteria, you just went out into the lobby and then to the left, and so we had our pre-show meal in the cafeteria. Everybody was nice, but it was all the technical requirements weren't there, but we made do.
And I remember when our Christmas show aired on public radio stations across the country, it was North Carolina and Wisconsin were the two states where we seemed to be all over the state.
Yeah, they love us in Wisconsin.
It's interesting because they love us in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, are they going to do, what they're drinking, what put it in the water, they should bottle it and take it everywhere else. But they love us in Wisconsin, except in this one small town, which I will not name. Mm-hmm. There's a high school there, and the drama teacher wanted to direct a production of All the Great Books Abridged, and her principal wouldn't let her, be saying that All the Great Books Abridged is too edgy.
Yes, and my question immediately was, what do they teach in that school? The not-so-great books?
Has this guy read the great books? Does he know what's in? If anything, we cleaned up the great books.
Well, yes. A lot of the great books are bawdy, just like Shakespeare. They say, oh, that Shakespeare show, it's so bawdy. Well, have you read or seen Shakespeare? It's bawdy. As you say, we've cleaned it up.
Yeah. I guess as an artist, I should be offended, you know? But I'm not offended because this guy thinks he's protecting... He's not protecting the students. He's protecting the parents, I guess.
Well, it's always a debate. I think people are worried about protecting other people. He would probably say, well, I'm not offended. But I think it might not be appropriate for kids. Or he might think it would be okay with the kids, but the parents would be upset, and that's going to get me in trouble. So I can appreciate that, but it's sort of you're running in a circle.
Right. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the drama teacher. I'm going to call her.
Oh, there's no way she's going to talk to you.
Ah, but she did talk to me. Kate Schultz, the Wisconsin High School drama teacher, spent part of last Saturday morning explaining what happened when she tried to stage All the Great Books Abridged. We agreed that we would not mention the name of her high school or her town, and Kate started by explaining how she chose All the Great Books Abridged in the first place.
Well, I usually start looking for scripts for my winter play right when I start summer break. Because it's really difficult for me to find a script, because I have to find something that's appropriate for the high school that I work with. and something that's also interesting that'll get people to come see it. And trying to find something that will draw high schoolers in but is appropriate for the administration is a very daunting task, because anything that's interesting will have sex, violence, swearing, homosexuality, drug use, prostitution, whatever. And then anything that's appropriate for high schoolers is pretty trite and cliche. So I went to UW Whitewater for college, and they just did the complete works of Shakespeare. So I thought I'd look into that script. And so I ordered that, and I ordered The History of America, and I ordered all the great books. And I actually originally was going to do The Complete History of America, and then I decided to do all the great books because I'm an English teacher, and I thought, well, it's probably going to be easier for me to do that since I know the material. Mm-hmm. I thought that it's such a different kind of script than the scripts I've done in the past, which, you know, had kind of a, you know, it told more of a story rather than, you know, more of a comedic, you know, fly by the seat of your pants, improvisational kind of thing where the kids could just really get up there and show me the skills that they had. I knew I had three male actors that could do the roles perfectly and would add so much comedy and fun and just really make the script come alive for the audience. Mm-hmm. So I had the cast for it. I knew the subject. I thought it would be really great. I knew that I would probably have to take out some of the swearing. I knew that that wasn't appropriate, but I figured, you know, yeah, there's some stuff that might be a little bit questionable, but it's literature. You know, it's in these books. You know, right. These are some of the books we study. How can it be a problem to put it on stage? You know, we read about it. What's the big deal? It's nothing worse than what you'd see on television at night if you watched Desperate Housewives, you know?
Right.
So I gave the script to my principal, not thinking too much of it, because he hasn't even read the last two scripts that I put on stage, which, you know, didn't, you know, it was the skin of our teeth by Thornton Wilder, so, I mean, there wasn't a lot in there that was too questionable. So I didn't really think much of it until he kind of cornered me one day and said, I'm not really big in this very much. So that was kind of a blow, considering it was about a week and a half before auditions. And...
Well, what was his objection?
His objection was that there was swearing in it, which I told him, I'm like, well, we could tone down the swearing. I mean, I've known directors to do that, and, you know, it's a high school script, so changing a word here or there, you know, they're going to ad lib anyway.
Right.
So, but his other concerns were some of the sexual innuendos or sexual scenes or the references to homosexuality or making jokes about that kind of stuff. And the problem comes that I work in a very small town in rural Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and it's a very conservative town. So as much as I teach at a public school, it is also very... we have to keep the community members in mind, you know, parents and people not even associated with the high school are going to be coming to see this show.
Right.
And we don't want to offend them, and we don't want to put on anything that they think isn't appropriate for their students or for, you know, people of a certain age, because ultimately they are the ones that fund us. So
right.
It's like saying we can't offend our producers.
Well, exactly right. I mean, it's one thing. It's sort of two issues. The commercial show business aspect is, well, you want to program something that your audience is going to like and not be offended. And it's funny right. to hear him talk about there's so much swearing. I don't even think of there being any swearing in our shows. And I'm looking at that.
Right.
I'm looking at that list that he sent to you and you sent to me of the objectionable content, and I see ass. I see the word mm-hmm. ass. A couple of times, which I don't even think of as swearing, but there is some definite swearing in Spanish that we translate
right.
badly into English.
But right, and I thought that was hilarious, but he got the Spanish translation, and he's like, oh, we can't do this, and I'm like, but it's, you know, and he's like, well, we have Spanish speakers out there, and I'm like, well, they'll find it even funnier.
Yes, exactly right. Well, then there's that other issue of not offending the audience, and fair enough, I get that. Why would you want to put mm-hmm. on a play that your audience is going to hate? But on the other level, there is this aspect of, well, this is the literature that the kids are studying in school. Why are we offended mm-hmm. by language? Yeah, and particularly context. It would seem that context is important. here. Right. It's not language about let's go down to spring break and get laid. It's language dealing with aspects of great literature.
Right, and I tried to explain that to him in my second meeting that I had from after I received your first email, and I kind of said, you know, these are some of the same books that we teach upstairs in the English department. I mean, Huck Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird, and like I said in my email, I teach Slaughterhouse 5 and In Cold Blood. Mm-hmm. I teach the importance of being earnest, and I talk about how Oscar Wilde was homosexual and how some of the characters in there may be considered homosexual. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have two teachers in my department who teach Lysistrata, for heaven's sake.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, I know, right?
Yeah.
But I can't put on, you know, your combination of the Iliad and the Odyssey and talk about, you know, Calypso.
Smart came from WISC-TV in Madison, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Where can you see the RSC? This week, we continue our three-week run of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, at the Overture Center in Madison, Wisconsin, on the Playhouse stage. It's a great, intimate little space. See us there if you can. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with high school drama teacher Kate Schultz.
The part I don't understand is this whole aspect of context. I get that he's protecting his community and his parents, but mm-hmm. It seems like he should be protecting his kids.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, my whole slant on it was I became a teacher of English and theater because I love the two things, and I think they overlap a lot. And to find a script like this that combines both of my areas of interest was phenomenal for me. I thought it was also great because not only would it be a script that the kids would be a different kind of angle towards theater for them, but it would be also something that they would heavily have to research. I mean, they'd have to know what these books are about. And so I'd at least have three kids in the school who would know a great deal about English literature, and what a great teaching tool for them. And then for the audience, they come in and they go, oh, wow, literature isn't really boring. It can actually be kind of fun.
And maybe they would pick up a book.
Right, exactly.
Well, you say you're in a small rural Wisconsin town, and it's conservative, so that instantly conjures up all sorts of stereotypes in my mind.
Right.
You know, of racist, homophobic, small-minded bigots. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
That is not true at all. I mean, I have to say that the people in the town that I work in are some of the nicest people that I've met. I mean, I've worked in a variety of different schools, and nothing against the other schools that I've worked in, but these are really just kind of genuine, salt of the earth, worked and lived in the same little town that their parents worked and lived in, that their grandparents worked and lived in. So they are really good people, and they are so supportive of the school district. They donate their time, they donate their money. There are people who don't even have kids in that school or never have had kids in that school district that support that school district in a variety of different ways. So I never want to come across the idea that they're, you know, putting on white sheets at night or anything, but it's just that it's a smaller town.
Right.
And, you know, there's not as much diversity as we may find in, say, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, New York, things like that.
Right.
And there are three private Christian-based schools in the town. So a lot of the students that come up through the school district and the parents that come up through the school district do have that foundation of belief. And so we do have to kind of not necessarily cater to that, but keep that in mind that a lot of the kids have these core beliefs.
Right.
And whether we as teachers share them or not, I feel that I need to respect those beliefs.
Right.
And I know the principal feels exactly the same way.
So you won't be doing a production of Fiddler on the Roof anytime soon?
Well, I don't think so.
And I think that's great. I mean, the small town, salt of the earth. Yeah, having a belief doesn't necessarily mean you're bigoted against other points of view or other ways of life.
Right.
It just seems like there's the possibility that maybe the community is more welcome to new ideas than the principal thinks. And
I think, you know, if I had not shown him the script and put it on, you know, there may have been one or two raised eyebrows or maybe one or two phone calls from a parent who goes, oh, my goodness, don't expose my child to that.
Right.
But to be, unfortunately, we don't get the biggest audiences for our theater program. Sure. I mean, we maybe have 100, 150 on a good night, you know, and out of, let's say, 400 people, 500 people that show up, if one person is offended, you know, one person is probably offended by every other play I've done, you know?
Yeah, exactly right.
And I know he's also trying to protect me in the theater program. I'm relatively new. This is going to be my fourth production there. So he doesn't want me to look bad, and he doesn't want people to get the taste in their mouth that, oh, she directs these wild and crazy things. But I go back to this. I'm not putting on with Estrada. I'm not putting on the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know?
Right. It's just, it's a silly comedy that celebrates literature. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think I said this in my email to you. I mean, if anything, it seems like he should stand up for the kids and for the things that they want to do, and he should tell the other parents in the community to just grow up.
Right, and if you don't like references to homosexuality and sex and violence or whatever on the stage, stay out of the theater.
Well, and don't turn on your television.
Right, and don't go out your door.
Don't go out your door, don't read a book, don't do anything else. Well, so... what do you think, what play do you think you're going to do?
Well, we've actually started rehearsals for a play called Moonlight and Magnolias.
Oh yes, I just saw a production, or an RSC actor was just in a production of that play in Southern California.
Yeah.
About the writing of Gone with the Wind.
Yep. So I tried to find another script that had very strong male roles, like I said, which is very strange for high school theater to have such strong men as I do. I don't know quite why. Mm-hmm. And so I had stumbled upon that script while I was frantically searching for another one in case my principal wouldn't let me do all the great books, and I like the fact that it is also literary based and it's historically based, so the kids have been doing a lot of research, but there's some stuff in that script that I've had to change, and I'm not concerned, but I'm curious as to the reaction of the town and the audience and the students as to the whole subtext or underlying plot of both Bette Hecht and David Selznick being Jewish and the coming war in Europe and Hollywood being run by the Jews and that kind of thing and not being accepted like that.
Right. I was going to make a joke about, you know, is the audience going to be comfortable with two characters playing Jews on stage?
I don't know. We'll see.
Well,
I also think it's interesting too that it's going to, I'm hoping that for the people who do come to see it, that it's going to open their eyes a little bit like, oh, okay, you know, this is something maybe we don't really know about. There was a time in our own country where the Jews were not accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just pointing at Germany and say they're bad people.
I have this crazy notion that I think your audience and community will survive this.
I believe so, too. I mean, there were people who complained that the Music Man was too racy. They just did that as a musical, and the Harold Hill and Marion character shared a kiss at one point, and oh, they shouldn't be kissing on stage. They're high school students.
Oh,
and I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh my
lord! It's the Music Man, for God's sake.
Well, I would love it if you just send me an email and let me know how Moonlight and Magnolias goes, because I would love to see how you're totally destroying the town you live in.
I am. I pretty much am.
Good for you. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me about this.
Oh, no problem.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your tales of censorship and outrageous suppressed speech via email to feedback@ReduceShakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at Facebook.com. You can also find us on MySpace, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Cheesehead Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Mr. What's It, who is one of our YouTube subscribers. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mark Kane from WISC-TV in Madison, Wisconsin, and to Kate Schultz for at least trying to stage one of our shows and then for taking both the heat and the time to talk to me about it. I am very, very grateful.
But as I listened to our conversation again, I realized that with all respect to the town she works in, if your beliefs include not wanting to hear even mentions of homosexuality, then I don't think I have much time for you. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. See you next time. I'm Austin Titchener, 157, 471st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Was that really that teacher, or did you just get somebody to do that?
No, that was really that teacher.
Yeah, sure.
It was her.
Well, anyway, while you were talking to that actress, it occurred to me that I think we didn't mention one of the venues in Wisconsin that we've been to most frequently, which is Viterbo University beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, and the river there. So go La Crosse. Love your sport.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.